Home. They say it's where the heart is. They also say it's wherever you make it. They don't say. It's where you unload your stuff, get tired halfway through unpacking, use some boxes as furniture, realize your oven mitt's in a box that doubles as a nightstand, don't want to buy a new nightstand, and use a towel as an oven mitt instead. But no matter where you call home, GEICO makes it easy to bundle and save on renters and car insurance. Easier than grabbing a piping hot pan with a towel that's a bit too thin and trying to quickly get it to the counter. Ooh, hot, 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 hot.
I think I was afraid of using my voice because I was afraid to accept that I had lung cancer. But if we want to have the best care, we need to talk. We need to ask. And we need to be assertive.
Speaking up doesn't need to be daunting. Consider gathering additional information from credible patient organizations, preparing questions you want to ask your doctor, taking notes at your next appointment, and asking about biomarker testing. Steps like these can potentially lead to care that is more focused on your needs.
We have to be assertive, even though it's hard when you are fighting for your life.
Visit bit.ly/soundupforlungcancer for links to resources and to learn more about Sound Up, a patient-inspired, community-led campaign supported by Novartis to empower people affected by lung cancer.
Hello to everyone who's watching. Welcome to Benzinga Cannabis Insider. Miss White Horse, thank you so much for subscribing. Born to be free, always here. There you go. Today, we have a couple special segments. Very cool stuff. We're waiting on Elliot. We'll see if he can join us. But if not, I will tell you a little bit about what's going on in the cannabis world this week. Marijuana activist MJ Weedman goes crypto. He will drop an NFT collection in 420. Do you all know who MJ Weedman is?
No. What's up, y'all? Sorry, my old computer just decided to go on the fritz at 3:59. Javier, tell me about MJ Weedman, dude.
So he's this very cool activist from New Jersey called Ed Fortune.
And his name's pronounced Fortune. I was like trying to do it this morning on Cannabis Daily. Fortune.
Fortune.
I like Fortune, though. I guess Fortune, that works. Yeah. But yeah, this is a cool piece of news, man.
Very, very, very cool stuff. Three different collections on the Rarible NFT marketplace available through Ethereum.
You guys going to buy cannabis NFTs? I mean, does that interest you guys? Drop a one in the chat if it does. Javier's waving his finger like it's not ethical to buy that.
I should probably retract that because like at some point we'll be dropping a cannabis NFT for El Planteo or for Benzinga or something. So ignore me, NFTs are great.
Yeah, rewind that finger wag. Take that right back. We don't have that nonsense here, Javi. But that's cool, man. NFTs, crypto, it's Ethereum, right? Ethereum-based?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Else is not taking any nonsense. The FDA is tired of CBD companies claiming their products can treat COVID-19 because they cannot.
Oh, thank God.
They might. They could. Oh, we don't know. The one thing that is for sure is that we don't know. So they said the FDA has not approved or authorized any drug containing CBD for the treatment.
Well, of course. But like, let's back up a little bit. I thought this was going to be like FDA's cracking down on CBD companies in general, which I was just like, thank God. But no, I got too excited too quickly. I don't know. I mean, some press releases were questionable, but I mean, treating COVID-19, like, what was it ever claimed, though, by like some of these leading companies?
Oh, man. The following companies received actually FTC FTC letters as well. Cure Organics, Heavens Organics, Functional Remedies, Greenway Herbal Products, CBD Social, Oopsie or UPSY, and Nature's Highway. So just so you know, if you ever come across a product that contains CBD or cannabis that claims it can treat COVID, don't buy it.
Well, no, it has to be high purity, which you can't get on shelves anyway, right? Isn't that part of it?
I mean, I hope so. But, yeah. You know, people are making wild claims on social.
Well, thank God the FDA has something to say. Something. Thank you. Sorry, Javi. I didn't mean to, like, get so intense that I muted you. But, like, my God. What's next?
You drop one, and then we got a very, very, very...
Have you seen all the earnings, man? You know, I want to call a couple companies out, but specifically, people are trashing Canadian stocks right now, and I get why. So let me preface this by saying the U.S. legislative action that was taken last Thursday, a week ago today, moved a lot of Canadian stocks because that is what people have access to. CGC, ACB, CRON, SNDL. We understand why it moved Canadian stocks, but it's also made this like counter wave of like, you know, US, you know, based investors, which, you know, they have a claim to like a good investment opportunity. They're not trashing them, but like Canadian stocks suck. Why are they moving on this? I think, you know, there are options to acquire some of these MSOs if it goes legal. So don't forget about that. You know, there are footprints in the US by VFF and CGC, you know, so don't forget about that. However, I do just want to say, there is some lovely proof of the pudding for these Canadian companies, specifically in Auxly, claiming top market share amongst licensed producers for cannabis 2.0 products. I mean, you got to call that out, right? That's awesome. CBWTF is their ticker. And then Delta 9 acquiring Uncle Sam's in Alberta, which I think is 17 dispensaries. That's a massive growth, like massive addition to their footprint, DLTNF. Those two specifically, I just wanted to call out.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. And the segue now, Mr. AT, what do we have lined up for our audience?
Oh, we're bringing in AT.
Today.
AT in the house. Where you at?
I had no idea I was joining the stream.
Everybody, AT, give him a round of applause.
What's up, everybody? How's it going? Yeah, guys, so we have a really, really cool video for you guys. If you guys, you know, paid any attention to the title of today's episode, yes, Allen Iverson's epic new strain. We got a really cool video on that. So the cannabis team and I went to Hamtramck, which is located near Detroit, Michigan, where our headquarters are. We went out there. Allen Iverson, Al Harrington, Viola Brands, they partnered together at 315 Cannabis Dispensary, and they launched AI's new strain. It was so cool. Quite the event. So instead of me talking about it, how about you guys check it out? Let me play it for you guys. Let me get these guys off the screen, get you guys a better view.
Started when he didn't know nobody.
Didn't know
anybody. I was the first person, his first friend in the space, and look at where we are today.
Look here, and this is Viola, named after Al's grandma. And so, people that want, like, does it get you like happy? Is that sativa?
So that's heavy, man. It's kind of heavy, man. We want people to smoke that and really relax
and chill
And 01 represents his MVP year. MVP strain.
That's good. So we got Al Harrington here. We're at dispensary.
We're at 315. Unbelievable partners.
Yes, Viola. If you don't have this in stock, you better get it because it's going to sell like crazy. Best cannabis in the world. You figure it out.
Yes, sir.
Allison. All right,
love,
thanks.
Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks. Peace. All right.
Hey, what's up? Welcome back. This is Patrick at Benzinga, and we've got Jamie here, producer AT behind the camera. Jason Raznick's floating around here somewhere, but we're here at 315 Cannabis in Hamtramck in Detroit, Michigan, to celebrate Allen Iverson's new launch of his product. With Al Harrington, Viola Brands, you're not going to want to miss this. This guy, right here. The Iverson brand, got some flour, some rolling papers. People are walking around with branded t-shirts, branded basketballs, branded hats. As you can see, a long line of folks ready to see the man himself. All right, here live, Jamie Miller at 315 Cannabis in Hamtramck, Detroit. Jamie, what did you just purchase?
So, I actually just purchased some of AI's strain.
Who's AI?
Allen Iverson.
So, man.
Came out with Iverson 01. Just purchased a nice little eighth of it. Beautiful packaging. Definitely going to be something that can't wait to test out, that's for sure.
How cool is it being here right now, Jamie?
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. I mean, it really just kind of feels like you're in your own world. I mean, we're surrounded by everyone that's in the industry with us, and it's just amazing. It's a giant community. Everyone's having a good time. It's really cool being at a launch like this.
That's sweet. Honestly, three things that I have for that video. And Javi, you can jump in after that. One, there's a place in Michigan called Hamtramck. Who named that place? Two, Patrick, my brother and our boss, pointed at a cardboard cutout of AI and said this guy when he was probably 5 feet away. and three, did you see how Al Harrington was like, this is heavy? And you saw it in his eyes that he wanted Jason Raznick to try it. And honestly, I'm here for it. Javi, that was an awesome video. AT, well done on that, brother. That video was awesome and looks like a really fun launch.
It was, man. And these two guys are super interesting. I had the privilege of interviewing Al and chatting with Al Harrington many, many times. Spoke a couple of times with Allen Iverson as well. I'm going to share some other interviews later on. Very, very cool guys. They know their weed. They know what they're doing. You know, they have all of this, you know, adult use side to it, but also, you know, they take a very serious approach to product. Mm-hmm. They have great partners. So honestly,
high quality brand, and they fight for this space in a lot of ways. Yeah. So you got to get behind Al Harrington, what he's doing at Viola for sure.
Yes,
with
sir.
That said, Nick G, who you calling awkward, bro?
Us?
You calling us awkward?
We're kind
of
so
get
awkward.
Out of here. Not awkward.
We work in finance. We're kind of awkward.
That's fair. I'll take it. Javier, anything else before we get on? I think, you know, always cool to have Jushi Holdings, JUSHF. I can proclaim them this because they self-proclaim themselves as a tier two multi-state operator. Very clean, very great company, very fast moving in this space. And I think and they'll talk about it in this interview, the fastest growing MSO. But Javier, anything else you want to say before we get to that interview?
No, let's get it rolling. We're already late. We're behind schedule.
Yeah, like, sorry, Mitch.
Cannabis show should, right?
Sorry. That's our bad. Anyways, Javi, I love you, dude. Everybody, stay tuned for the special segment. I'll be in the chat if you want to ask any questions. Jushi's awesome. Great investment opportunity if you're interested in investing in the cannabis space.
Mr. Aaron Thomas.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a marvelous special of Cannabis Insider. You know, we always bring you cool executives. We like to touch on all sides of the industry, but when it comes down to it, you know, the U.S. opportunity centers around these multi-state operators, and we're bringing you one of the fastest growing operators and their head honcho, the CEO, chairman, and founder of Jushi Holdings, J-U-S-H. F on the OTC. Jim, let's get him over, Aaron, really quickly. Again, Jim Cachopo, how are you, my friend?
Great. Thanks for having me, Elliot. And yeah. By the way, we are the fastest growing. Yes. We
are.
Yes.
Love that, man.
Oh, the top 10, you know, I mean, there might be some smaller ones doing.
How do you measure that? I mean, if you don't mind me asking.
You know, we're public companies, but I measure it on organic revenue growth. So if you look at, you know, not okay. Same store sales, but same assets owned, and then you know, some companies I think in the fourth quarter, we might have been overall, like, you know, from the third to the fourth quarter. But basically, some companies were doing these great big acquisitions, so they all of a sudden their companies double in size. But you know, obviously, the shareholders suffered a lot of dilution for that deal. So for us, you know, organically is what we talk about.
I love that. The dilution is the word of the day, kids. Yeah. We don't talk about that here. It's a nasty word. Yeah. So Thursday, March 24th, you released your earnings. We're here to talk a little bit about the performance. I think it was very positive, but I want to get your initial insights before we go super deep into it.
Yeah, listen, I think the market, you know, based upon how our stock reacted, it was kind of flat. It was up a little bit that day. So I think the market was sort of we came in with what the industry was already doing. So we report like a few days later than everybody else, just, you know, smaller company getting our numbers together kind of stuff. And the market was ready. You know, the first quarter, first half looks a little bit slower for the industry. We were right in there with that. I highlighted a couple of things that I don't think people talk about enough. The seasonality, for example, mm-hmm. you know, if you look at it, the strongest months of the year of monthly sales is December, not in any order, December, April, and July. So in December, obviously you have the holiday season, everybody's in a good mood, they're spending money and they're partying with their friends. And then in April, you got 420 and there's a lot of promoting and just people just go out and just become a part of the movement, right? That's part of the movement. And then you have 710, which is the vape version of that, right? In July. So, and then also the summer, you know, like the Q2 is that spring, everyone's getting out, spring fever, summer, you know, June, July, and then August, September is kind of vacation back to school. So you get that really kind of, those are your boom times. So January is a little slow. And on top of that, we had the vape recall in Pennsylvania, which that's our biggest state, which hurt us a bit. And on top of that, you know, a lot of snow this year. I mean, that may be part of the seasonal weakness. I'm not sure if it was more, you know, I'm not a farmer. I didn't check the almanac before getting on here, but I do believe that we had a lot of snow this year in the Northeast and Illinois, where we have our big operations, and we had to shut the stores down because of snowstorms. And then lastly, that it seems like a distant memory, but if you recall back to your Christmas vacation, Omicron was raging, the flight delays. And so we had to close stores because it just, you know, when it hit the store, you know, it just ravages your whole, you know, employee profile, and you have to take safety precautions to comply with CDC as an operator. So all those things cause us to be a little bit slow in the first quarter. But good news at Jushi, though. I mean, Elliot, we talked about this on our call, but second Q looks to be right back on trend in terms of the fast growing and the whole thing.
That's fantastic. I mean, a little defense of you, I can't remember the last time I looked at an almanac. I mean, I don't think you're alone there. Yeah. But, you know, take me down this road for like 15 seconds here, and then we'll get back on track. But the education and the vast assortments of how you use cannabis could ideally, you know, lessen this seasonality of it eventually, like utilizing it as a focus tool, you know, utilizing it for things other than getting high. Is that something that you all take into account in terms of how you grow your product portfolio and maybe to even out some of the seasonality?
Yeah. I would say that, you know, the more it becomes adopted, you'll have a higher baseline approach. So whether it's used for anxiety or migraines or sleeping or you know, with chemo patients for their appetite, that'll set a higher baseline number. So it's just math. And then the seasonality will sort of like be still there because a lot of that has to do with the holidays, you know? Yeah. I mean, how many people, you know, come into January like, yeah, I mean, usually you're like, January, usually, you know, you spent a lot of money, right? You spent a lot of money, right? And you've spent a lot of time, you know, on vacation and hanging out, staycations, whatever it might be, and with your friends and you know, gathering, and there's that party atmosphere, you know, loves it, right? New Year's, Christmas, that whole week in there, plus the week before. And then you get to January, you're like, I'm going to get into the gym. I'm going to get on the Peloton. I got a New Year's resolution. I'm going to lose like 10 pounds. So I think it's just that sort of mentality. You just can't get around it in January. And then February, you know, the snowstorm, it had a lot of us to do with weather, right? Snowstorms hit, bears sleep for hibernation. You know, people are like, I'm not going to the store. I'm just going to watch Netflix today. And, you know, I'm not, you know, it's just bad weather. Like I grew up in Florida. You know, I never saw snow until I was 18, but I lived up in New York for 30 years. Yeah. I have a solution for driving in the snow. I figured out how to do it. When it gets really bad, stay at home. And that's what all the public advisories tell you. So I think it's a lot of that. You just can't get around.
Yeah.
The baseline will grow, so it won't be as noisy.
Okay. On the surface of this, of your earnings here, you know, and maybe you can confirm this or say I'm losing my mind. You all have 29 stores now, right? 28 at the end of this report.
Yeah.
Because you just closed on another one in Nevada, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. That's correct.
Looking at your performance, I believe it was just under $210 million on the year. It seems that your per store value is pretty high compared to a lot of the industry. It seems like the assets you all run are decently valuable. It could be, you know, I'm sure a certain centric market or, you know, where you all have a lot of footprint. But am I somewhat correct in my assumption there?
Yeah, you know, you may look at the overall, like I'm in here managing our business and I know my, you know, best stores. And I think we do really well. We're at least at probably above the average for the big companies. And the ones that are that are tend to be the highest on a way above average just have less stores and are more concentrated, like in Illinois. Like Cresco, for example, claims to have, you know, so there's reasons that if you analyze the numbers, why there's some outliers. But yeah, I mean, for us, you know, the averages are deceiving and also positive for the company, right? So we have this 29 store base. We have three stores that routinely do between like 23 and like 27 million a year in annualized revenue. So that's huge, right? Yeah. And then we have a lot of new stores, right, that just nobody knows where they are, in Pennsylvania or in Virginia. Really, in Virginia, there's just new. You can't advertise. It's, you know, very highly regulated. So you have some stores doing, you know, way lower numbers. So I believe that there's a lot of growth in our store base. And the stores that are doing sort of mid-20s in the 20s, you know, they've reached their full potential. In fact, one of them used to do the low 30s, but we opened a second store close by. There was too many lines for the patients. It's a great market. So now in that market, it's just outside of it's outside of St. Louis and the Illinois side. We're doing like $50 million of sales in two stores as opposed to 33 in one. So the new store is a lot more throughput than the old store. Just the number of POS stations and the parking and all that stuff. So like it's, you know, the averages are deceiving, but I believe a good medical store should be between 7 and on the low side and 12 on the maybe 15. We've seen as high as 17 million for a great medical store in, you know, Pennsylvania. I think it'd be even higher in Virginia. And then I think like when you flip over to adult use, before the competitive dispensaries open up, you get these peaky numbers, which could be like in the 30s or more. I mean, I've seen some stores do even higher than that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it varies. And so I think there's a lot of, you know, growth in our of stores that are open to Jushi that are still going up the curve of getting loaded up by patients and getting popular and people knowing where they are. So it takes about, between you open a store, it takes about 12 months for it to get to, you know, slow down on the growth rate. So it just grows at this really high rate because people don't know where it is and, you know, they're going someplace else. And we opened four stores, I believe, in the fourth quarter and a couple in the third. So we have a lot of stores still in the early part of that transition.
I love that. That's actually great knowledge. Thank you for that. Yeah. Word of the day, another word of the day. I've already used that, but M&A, or the letters of the day. Obviously we can't have an interview with a major industry CEO, and not look at the overall industry. And obviously a huge acquisition, also announced last week with Cresco and Columbia Care. But when you look at this industry, what are your thoughts on this large M&A, you know, and where we're headed, what to expect, and then maybe if you want to compare that to your strategy of M&A.
I'm loving that Cresco Columbia Care deal. We have deep relationships with Cresco. not so much with Columbia Care. So for us, that's like opens up that footprint for us. And Columbia Care ran kind of a closed loop kind of deal, as far as I could tell from our relationship. So they, you know, they from us, that's a positive. Also, you know, we are very active M&A. You know, if you look at there's not going to be that many of these big deals. I mean, that is to me the cornerstone deal of everything. If I look at the deals that have happened that really advanced companies and made them who they are, if I look at Curaleaf, it was grassroots. Big deal, great deal. It did a great job, right? And if I look at Trulieve, it's Harvest. You know, yep. We'll see how that turns out, but it seemed to fit well, right, to me. They still have execution to go. I think, you know, Cura picked up, you know, grassroots at a fantastic price, I believe. And
yeah.
I think, you know, in terms of the Trulieve Harvest deal, you know, it depends what they do. And I have a feeling they'll do great, but we'll see.
Yeah.
And then this Columbia Care deal with Cresco, you know, I mean, it's the two most advanced footprints, more equal, different skill bases. And so it's super interesting. But now these companies are done. Right. I mean, there's no more done, but kind of done. Right. Yeah. They're like, you want to pull that out of the oven before it gets burnt. There's not that many deals they can do.
Right.
Now, if you look at Verano, they got there a different way. They've been buying all kinds of different single state and double state operators. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of getting pretty close to done, quite close, actually. And they have a lot in their place with this Goodness Green deal they just did to license Minnesota, you know, New York, that they have to build out. There's nothing there. Believe me, I bought from this company before. And so the big license, we call that a license deal, big license deal. And then if you look at GTI, they've been the steady Eddie, did a lot of deals. Now they do it. And they're getting pretty close. So those companies, you know, and that's great for tier two, right? Mm-hmm. If you look at the tier two now, we just lost Columbia Care. So there's four of us left. And I would say that we've probably been amongst the, you know, we've all been very disciplined. You know, there's one of us that's been more aggressive. And I think they're kind of, you know, been quiet for a while. But they were very, very aggressive in 2020 and 21. Mm-hmm. And the rest of us have been kind of like, you know, just picking stuff off. So you basically have like three buyers, maybe the fourth with the aggressive one, and down from like 10. And I think that is really will cause us, we've been, I think, the most disciplined buyer. I think we have the best M&A track record. It's on our website. You know, we bought, you know, 18 dispensaries in Pennsylvania for $80 million. These other folks have been paying like between 50 and 130 for three, right?
Wow.
So, you know, we got the licenses, they got revenues in those deals, but still, I mean, that's not, you know,
yeah,
$1 million to open a dispensary and you build the revenues and we got great deals, right? Mm-hmm. And so we picked up, you know, $80 million of revenue in four dispensaries. There were only two open at the time in Illinois for $12.5 million. That's a fantastic, I mean, that's the best deal probably ever. And
yeah,
then we have probably, I think, the best license in cannabis in Northern Virginia for $33 million. So we have this great track record. We've been super disciplined. And some people think, hey, between tier two, you get to tier one, you stop trading at like, you know, five times EBITDA or four times, and you go to like nine. I just want that arbitrage. And that more aggressive player in the tier two, I think, has been publicly saying, we're doing that arbitrage. We're the next to get that. We've been saying, hey, we just want to really just, we want to go slow. We want to get very creative deals. We'll get there. We like the fact when everybody gets full, you know, indigestion, and you know, everybody at the dinner table's got indigestion, and I just ran a marathon, and there's a great, you know, smorgasbord of assets.
Yeah.
That's how I feel in M&A, and we have some evidence of that in the deals we're going to close in the coming weeks.
That might be the best rundown of M&A I think we've had on this show. I think you get a medal for that one, man. Thank you for that. So let's wrap up here. Worth the extra few minutes here. I appreciate it, Jim. Give me what, you know, you said we can expect to get back on track in Q2. Anything else we can look for in 2022 for Jushi? Anything that you're excited for personally?
Oh, a ton. Yeah. I mean, so Q2, what happens in Q2? That's so, first of all, let's use Q4 of last year as a starting point because of the seasonality. Q2 is a seasonally strong quarter, right? So we did almost 66. We closed about $50 million of revenues in March. and early April. So we're talking about 50 million coming on, which is like 10 million a quarter. So you could do that math, divide that by four and add it up. And then we hope to get some growth. We're opening two stores in California in Q2. I think on the earliest side of Q2. No, one's on the earliest side, one sort of mid. And we're opening a Virginia store too, sort of in hopefully in June, right? So we get at more retail open. Four stores in a quarter, that's a big number for like one of these big companies like Curaleaf or GTI. You know, they're not everybody's up for. So four is a lot, right? It's a good quarter for us. So that's going to give us tailwind into Q3, right? Because those stores are just getting going, right? And then Q3, we're opening up some more stores. But then the big thing for Jushi, the super exciting thing, is we're getting super vertical. We start planting our grow rooms in Virginia, where we did massive expansion. Capital is mostly already in the ground, which is a good thing for a company, you know, and Pennsylvania capital is already mostly in the ground, meaning we're like, these are brand spanking new facilities, and we're just starting to plant them. That's happening now in the next few weeks in these cases, and you start generating revenue on those somewhat in Q3, but mostly in Q4. So we go from this primarily retail Jushi in 2021, Q4 of 2021, call it 90% retail. And then we add on Massachusetts, which is totally vertical, very, very vertical. We add on Nevada, four stores, and we have two grow processors when that deal closes. So very, very vertical, like a lot of our own product goes to our stores. Your margins go through the roof, right? Yeah. That's M&A vertical, right? And then our biggest state of Pennsylvania, we have a small grower processor that gets to be market size, big, and we, it's so very, very vertical with a nice wholesale business in all of those markets, Massachusetts and Pennsylvania especially, and then Virginia, you know, going vertical, right? Virginia right now, our run rate revenue in Virginia, okay? We have an exclusive right to serve Northern Virginia, 2.5 million people, the five best MSAs in the state as measured by income per capita. More money you have, the more you can spend. And you know, simple. And like, simple's good. And so basically that market right now, our revenue is only two stores are open. The patients don't even know the program exists. The pharmacy control board is so backlogged, right? They have 50,000 patients in the market. There's 15,000 in the backlog. That just, it's just been so. They're asking the state for help. We can't do this. That's what's going on there. Patients will go through the roof. We have a business in Virginia doing 12 million of annualized revenue right now, sort of run rate. And where can that go? I mean, there's just huge growth there. So that is super exciting story if you think about the Jushi story for 2022.
That's exciting, man. Awesome. Jim, wonderful rundown. Thank you so much for coming on, talking about your 2021. Awesome rundown of M&A, and looking forward to what you guys do in 2022. And looking forward to hanging out with you in Miami, April 20th and 21st. Obviously a big day for the industry, and we're thrilled to have you guys with us.
Yes, awesome. Glad you guys are coming to Miami.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Awesome. Jim Cacioppo, CEO, chairman, founder of Jushi, OTC listed, JUSHF. Check them out. They are a clean, wonderfully fast-growing company in this space. Jim, thanks so much for being with us, man. We'll see you again very soon.
Awesome, Elliot. Thanks for having us.
Yes, sir. Talk to you soon. Thank you all for tuning in onto your regularly scheduled programming. Benzinga.
Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel anytime.
Can I be real for a second? That goal you have to exercise and eat better, you really can do it, but nobody is going to do it for you. And nobody has to, because you can do it if you have the right tools and a community that cares about helping you get results. And that's us, Beachbody. It's as convenient as your TV or laptop, but you need to decide that you're worth it. Let us help you succeed. Here's how. Go to Beachbody.com to claim your free membership and start feeling great.
This episode is brought to you by Verizon. Get a Verizon Business Unlimited plan from the network businesses rely on. Hey, Monica, with 5G Ultra Wideband in many more cities, you get up to 10 times the speed at no extra cost.
Hello, downloads in no time.
Plus, unlimited premium data and hotspot data to keep the signal flowing and your teams going. Come in or book an appointment with a Verizon business expert to find the right plan for your team. 5G Ultra Wideband available in over 1,700 cities with Business Unlimited Pro 2.0 smartphone plan. Speed comparison is to median Verizon 4G LTE speeds. Download speeds may vary depending upon network and coverage conditions and content optimization for 5G Ultra Wideband.
Finding the right person for the job isn't easy. Just ask someone who hired a monster truck driver to deliver pizza.
And the neighbors are going wild. You can hear that engine from a mile away, Fran.
And he's foregoing the driveway and heading right up the lawn and over the azaleas. What a power move.
But if you've got an insurance question, you can always count on your local GEICO agent. They can bundle your policies, which could save you hundreds.
With 6-foot tires and a roll cage, this pizza guy could quite literally crush the competition.
For expert help with all your insurance needs, visit geico.com/local today.
Jeep Freedom Days are here, where right now, well-qualified returning FCA lessees get a low-mileage lease on the 2022 Grand Cherokee WK Laredo E4x4 for $369 a month for 36 months with $3,799 due at signing. Tax, title, license extra. No security deposit required. Call 1-888-925-JEEP for details. Requires dealer contribution, a lease across your capital. Lessee is responsible for termination fees. Current lease must end by 7-3-23. Extra charge for miles over 30,000. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 7-5-22. Jeep is a registered trademark.